quote that I say often, and it is, you can't be neutral on a moving train. And that quote I got years ago from the late Howard Zinn, who was a World War II veteran and a historian. And that quote is very present in this particular topic, the very difficult topic that I'm going to be discussing right now, is rape, sexual harassment, and sexual assault that has come to the forefront inside of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu community. Women are starting to come out with their stories of flat-out rape or sexual assault, as well as naming names of the people who enabled it or people who protected the perpetrators and the people who victim blamed and asked them to be silent. Gym owners have come out speaking about affiliate teams they were a part of, asking them to pay legal fees for the perpetrators, etc. So this is going to be our topic on this show. That is the official trigger warning.
The interim of sarcasm, the nutty professor, to your whack-ass marmalade. It's T-Bone from T-Bone and Chick Brew in the Morning. Now available in podcast format. Simply search for the T-Bone and Chick Brew podcast, available wherever fine podcasts are sold.
We talk about a lot of serious topics on this show, and one very serious topic is women's health. One company to step out to me was vslay.com, because the owner is very transparent about her own struggles in women's health, and she has great customer service and many frequent sales. Check her out, her amazing customer service and amazing sales, at www.vslay.com. That's www.vslay.com. The Daryl McClain Show is fully listener supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. You can get a membership for $3 a month at www.patreon.com/The Daryl McClain Show. Back in March of 2018, a jiu-jitsu black belt and former Fight Sports affiliate instructor by the name of Marcel Gonzalez was arrested and charged with multiple counts of sexual assault, stemming from the allegations that the 31-year-old at the time had intercourse multiple times with a 17-year-old student. Recently, ADCC head organizer Jazim released details of allegations that he says he learned from the victim's father. Jazim also made allegations that Fight Sports head Roberto Cyborg Abreu had asked Gonzalez's former business partner, Keith Rommel, to pay $35,000 in order to keep using the Fight Sports name and at Rommel's Nepal, Florida affiliate. Jasmine also alleged that BJJ black belt Wagner Rocha, along with Albura, have recently allowed Gonzalez to train at their respective academies. Both Cyborg and Rocha have both issued statements regarding these allegations. I'm not going to read those statements, but in the order of fairness, I will link to them in the show notes. But this is what Mo Jasmine has brought to the forefront. He states, "It's time to go. It's go time. I just got off the phone with the victim's father. He gave me the green light to mention. We spoke and everything. He just wants his voice heard. For once, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to warn you, my next post will be shocking and depressing. My jaw is still on the floor since this serious issue. I'm going to make a post without combining them to tell the story in detail. I will create all the posts and upload it all at once. I also spoke to Keith Rumel, the previous owner of Fight Sports Naples, and the current owner of Evolution MMA as well." So the victim started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at the age of 10 by walking into a random school in Cape Coral. After a few months, it was very apparent she was extremely talented at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and had outgrown that gym. At the age of 11 or 12, her father took her to Fight Sports Naples, where Marcel was an instructor. 3 years ago, was a top student, crushing in competitions nationwide. Before this, the victim and her family were extremely close with Marcel, going to kids' parties, pool parties, and she would even babysit some members in Marcel's family. 3 days after the victim turned 16, she told a friend at her school that her and Marcel had had sexual relations. The friend then went to the police, who then contacted the victim's father. There was no arrest for about 2 weeks, and the Marcel kept asking where the victim was since she stopped coming to training. After a few weeks, the police arrested Marcel and he confessed. According to the father, Marcel's first lawyer was the owner of a major sponsor to Cyborg and Fight Sports. Marcel kept changing lawyers and then finally got a hotshot defense lawyer, which begs the question who was paying the legal fees. A good lawyer will charge anywhere from $600 to $1,000 an hour. This hotshot lawyer resigned off the case, and apparently the last court date was 3 weeks ago. Marcel wasn't there. Not to be sure, he actually had to be. After the whole scandal broke, according to Keith Rummel, the owner of Fight Sports Naples at the time, Cyborg contacted him and stated, "You need to pay Marcel $35,000 in order to keep Fight Sports' name." Keith told him to go fly a kite and instead chose to rename his school Evolution MMA. "I'm a very nice guy who genuinely tries to help people, but if you do something that is scummy, especially against people who can't speak up or defend themselves, I'll bulldoze you into pieces. This sport has a bunch of wannabe tough guys, but when presented with a chance to do the right thing, they fold like a chair. Principles over everything." One of the Fight Sport guys messaged me, "Why are you doing this? I thought we were better friends than this. You know what I said? Go fuck yourself. You think I want to be friends with a bunch of cowards? Yes, men, enablers, no thanks. My support is for the victim. What's right? That's it. Cyborg, Wagner, and Chad, you are dead to me. If I ever see you in the same place, don't come up to me. I don't want to see you or speak to you again. I'm a professional, so if you are at an ADCC that I'm in charge, I'll only speak to me about the event." Well, I just woke up. One more thing. Wagner and Cyborg were both confronted about this a couple of weeks ago, and they denied Marcel was training there. They were acting dumb. If they try to discredit me, I will release it. Take responsibility. Holy shit. Also, the question remains, where is Marcel now? I've heard through many he fled back to Brazil. If that's the case, many will ask who helped him. Pandora's box has been opened. Jassim also released updated photos that appear to show Gonzalez, or this guy's name is spelled G-O-N-C-A-L-V-E-S, at Abura's Academy Fight Sports Miami, as well as at Rocha's Academy. Both Abura and Rocha have issued statements in response. Aburo, the man who gave Gonclaves his black belt, states that what Gonclaves did was terrible and is unacceptable. Aburo explicitly denies any implications that he had paid for Gonclaves' legal defense and explains that the requested $35,000 was intended to support the family. In his statement, Rocha says that Gonclaves was only in his academy on two occasions under specific circumstances. Finally, Keith Rummel, the owner of Evolution MMA, formerly Fight Sports Naples, issued a statement as well. His statement goes on to say, "This is Keith, the owner of Evolution MMA and the previous owner of Fight Sports Naples. These are the facts. Marcel was given an opportunity most people dream of, coming to Naples, Florida, and being paid well to teach BJJ. He was even given a house in Marco, Florida, on the water to live in rent-free for years, a luxury even I can't afford yet. Marcel never invested a single dollar or even a second of time. He was always paid into the gym. Given these facts and the nature of what he did, no, sir. He deserves nothing but four walls and a bed to sleep on. And my gym, who flew your flag proudly for years, we deserve your support, but you never came to visit the academy, even though it's a short drive away. Also, the victims deserve your support, but it seemed that Marcel received it instead. I don't think people are upset with you, Cyborg, because what Marcel did is not your fault. You are right. You cannot control people and their actions, but you can control yours, and your support was in the wrong place, given what happened. And you are right. We did have a good relationship until this point. I still don't think you're a bad person. I know many great people on your team, but you chose to support the wrong people in this situation, in my opinion." In December 2020, Gonzalez filed with the court to notice the intent to rely on insanity defense. According to publicly released documents, Gonzalez alleges that he was legally insane at the time he was charged with the event, and specifically suffering from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So encephalopathy, encephalopathy. And I will link to those court documents in the show notes. So this man had this student who has been training jiu-jitsu since she was 11. For all intents and purposes, he did what I call sexual grooming, where you watch somebody grow up and you creepily try to get them to do things behind their parents' back, take them to sporting events. I did a show on sexual grooming a few weeks ago. And unfortunately, a lot of people who do the behavior are normally teachers and coaches and priests and people that you trust with your kids, who groom them over a long period of time to start to do things that they then feel shame about, and it goes on. There was somebody who commented on this, four-time black belt world champion, Dominica, and she's a good friend of mine, and she is a girlfriend of Samson, one of the kids I watch grow up, and I also sponsor. And she's had to say about this situation is, recently there has been a renewed outrage surrounding sexual assault in jiu-jitsu community. Sadly, jiu-jitsu is teeming with predators who are lying in wait to take advantage of those who are unfortunate enough to cross paths with them. Individuals who have the potential to become dangerous are actually trained to become deadly when ignorant or immoral instructors take them under their wing. Skills does not imply ethics. As a community, we have to take responsibility and stop giving power to individuals just because of the color of the scrap of the fabric around their waist. If you are a gym owner, vet the individuals you hire. Don't just hire your friends, your peers, or people you admire. If you are a coach, listen to the accusations if they are brought forward, and pay close attention to the environment you curate and the students you attract. If you are a student and you notice your peers acting maliciously, it is your duty to speak up and try to interfere before anything escalates. And if you are a community member, listen to the stories. Investigate things yourself and do not turn a blind eye to bad behavior. Respond with your wallet and take away your financial support from corrupt gyms, which only continue to funnel corrupt people to the very top. Progress starts at the very bottom. It starts with us taking action, however small the change may be. And I say amen to Dominica, who made that statement. And it's sad to be, have to say these things, that this is supposed to be a community that teaches people who are disadvantaged to take care of themselves. And even in this community, you will have your predators. I have another heartbreaking story of a 17-year-old who was raped by a teammate and was told about the, you know, told the assault to their instructor, and they were shamed into silence. Told that because it was just a soft thing and that she shouldn't report it, or because she was at a type of seminar that it would bring bad stigma on the seminar, and they victim blamed her. This young lady's name is Rachel. I'm not going to say her last name, but She bravely came forward and told her story. When I was 17, I was raped by a teammate. I never spoke about this to anyone who wasn't directly involved in this time in my life. But with the further news coming out involving the situation that is very closely related, I decided to speak up. I started just training jiu-jitsu at the age of 15 at a local gym in Naples, Florida, back in 2011, fairly soon after joining the academy. I started receiving a lot of attention from a 28-year-old male blue belt on the team. I perceived it as nothing more than a friendship. I was excited that he wanted to be my friend. I thought he was cool. I liked that he wanted to talk to me and joke with me. Time continued to pass, and I was oblivious to what his intentions were. I was 17, but I was still a child in almost every sense. I was taking high school online in order to be able to be training more. I didn't have an active social life or a lot of friends to talk to. I had never had a boyfriend before this. I have never had any sexual experiences prior to this. I had never had my first kiss. I had never held a boy's hand before. And now all this grooming and attention was being thrown at me, and I didn't know to be wary of it. After I received my blue belt in December of 2012, his attention towards me increased dramatically. He began asking me after morning training, and eventually I became going to his house. He pressured me into having sex with him. I said I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to, but I didn't want to say no, because I was afraid, and then I was in pain and crying. It was rape because I didn't want to. It was rape because I said I didn't want to. It was rape because I was 17 and he was 28. A few months after that happened, I told my head instructor at the time, and he was very angry. He blamed me for my part in the incident. I was fired from my position at the gym, helping teach kids. I was kicked out of the fighter's house for being a liability. I was banned from training in teens class because I was a bad influence, and my instructor told me that he was worried that I was going to sleep with the teens now. I was blamed for being a child who was taken advantage of. No one asked me what happened and if I wanted it. Nobody asked if I was okay. I accepted the blame without question. I blamed myself for even entertaining his attention in the first place. And I blamed myself for not knowing better than this. My old head instructor forced me to tell my parents in the case they wanted to press charges against that individual. My parents blamed me too. They never asked me why or how or when they said if I thought I was an adult enough to be having sex, that I needed to deal with the consequences and not bring the law into it. They said they were very, very disappointed in me. After the individual who raped me was kicked out of the gym, he began training at Fight Sports Naples, which was ran under the head instructor, Marcel Gonzalez. This was 2014 when he first started training there. I'm not sure how many in management, owners, and other people knew who was training there, or how many people knew as the gym. It kept it very quiet for the sake of the gym's reputation. But I do know at least one individual who trained at the location knew why he had been asked to leave. Whether or not people at Fight Sports Naples knew of what happened, it's my opinion that they actually harbored an environment that enables abusers. I was blamed and shunned at my gym by the head instructor. Nobody ever asked if I was okay. I was treated like I had the plague and like I was dirty. I hate to consider myself a victim, but in this instance, at that time, I was. I wasn't okay and I was alone in this. Fight Sports Naples was a place at the time where unsavory people went to train and were openly welcomed. This is very hard for me to relive and to write and expose to the public. I'm writing all of this because I want to share my story and what I experienced of sexual assault within the jiu-jitsu community. I don't hold any ill will toward my old gym or my instructors or even the individual who took advantage of me. I don't want any negative repercussions to come towards my old gym or anyone involved there, nor towards that individual. I don't want this to be about me or about what happened to me. This happens a lot, and I want people to see that. There are so many ways this could have been prevented or handled differently after the fact by a lot of people involved. I should have spoken up when it first happened, but I was afraid. People need to know that this happens and that this really hurts people and something needs to be done. Sexual assault and rape are horrific things that no one deserves to experience. But these things are made so much worse by improper responses of the community. It's a systemic problem that needs to be addressed at its core. It breaks my heart that it's still happening. So I want to read the response to this, some of this stuff from several people. And I'm going to have my instructor, the Warrior Princess, Taylor Saucer, going to come on a bit later to help suss this out and discuss what women can do to protect themselves in this type of area. I can say, in short, if anything is happening at your gym and you feel uncomfortable, you feel like you can't reach out to instructors. There are several places you can go, and I'm going to link to an organization that helps with this in the show notes. I'm also going to say that you can reach out to me and several other people, and we will get you help. Aaron Harper Matey, who is a pro MMA fighter, out of Gracie, Tampa, South, and a very high level jiu-jitsu practitioner, black belt, said something that is worth saying, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. So what she said was, "I know I may piss people off, but I don't see any high-level grappler speaking out about this major issue. And I'm all about talking about what's right or wrong. As a jiu-jitsu instructor, I am heavily invested in teaching self-defense, building competence, and inspiring kids and women to find their inner strength and chase their own dreams. Jiu-jitsu is an empowering self-defense, and when instructors take advantage of that role and assault/rape their own students, especially children, that's a whole other kind of evil. What's even worse, or even more scary, is people defending or supporting those individuals. As an instructor, you have the responsibility to maintain safe boundaries for everyone inside of the gym, including your own, and keep your gym safe and professional as an environment. As an instructor, you are also responsible to address any inappropriate behavior going on inside of the academy, because at the end of the day, you have the power in your academy to make sure nothing heinous is happening. People are quick to blame the student, but what the instructors fail to realize is that if you have your students' lives in your hands and you have control of how situations will play out in your gym. Not only that, instructors have the responsibility to not support individuals who have done heinous crimes against their own students, especially children. No loyal relations, blood, famous credentials, or family ties will ever let me be okay with someone who has committed a crime against a child, or any person for that matter. If you're still cool with someone who's a predator, you're part of the problem. Y'all can say, "Oh, it's none of my business, and I don't know all the info, or I don't have anything to say in the matter," but many black belt instructors have known about these situations and others for years, and little has been said about it. The victims' voices never heard, and the situations just swept under the rugs. Facts are simple. It's not only that instructors have the responsibility to not support individuals who have done heinous crimes against their own students, especially children. I'll say this again. No loyalty, relations to blood, famous credentials, or famous ties will ever let me be okay with anyone who has committed a crime against a child. And if you're still cool with someone who's a predator, you are a part of the problem. So you can say, "It's none of my business. I don't know all the info, etc." And I will say this, the victims' voices have never been heard. Situation swept under the rugs. Facts are simple. It's not okay to touch kids. It's not okay to support people who do. Bright futures and souls were destroyed. 17-year-olds is still a child. 16 is still a child. Hell, I think it's weird going after young students even when he or she is of legal age. You watch them grow up on the mat for years, you pigs. We have to stop normalizing this inside of our community. We have to stop supporting people who support predators, period. This sport is supposed to help people, not to be preyed upon or harassed. Thank you, Mo, for being the big voice we needed to shed light on this and being her voice. And go follow at MOTAR2K for more info. Now, I think that's the right message to take. That's the right stance. I'm not really concerned about the nuances of whose godparents you are if that person is a pedophile. I'm concerned about the victims. I'm concerned about the children that have been preyed upon by people whose parents entrusted them in these academies. And people who feel ashamed and like they have nobody to talk to. And I'm embarrassed that these people have such a high spotlight and visibility inside of the sport. I personally will never go to any seminar. I will never buy an instructional video. I will never say a good word about them or share any of their videos. I think their accomplishments have been overshadowed by their deafening silence when it mattered the most. If you are silent in situations between an oppressor and the oppressed, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. You have chosen the side of these rapists. You have chosen the side of these pedophiles. You have chosen the side of these people who take advantage and sexually assault children. And I will forever see you as such. Everything done in the dark will eventually come to the light. I'm sorry that this happened to these young women. I know that this is just the tip of the iceberg. There are several other stories I have seen, and it is heartbreaking, to say the least. And I will say this. If anybody tells me of anything untoward that is happening to them at their academy, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you are famous for something that nobody wants to be famous for. I'm going to do everything I can to expose you. I'm going to make sure the police get hold of you. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you never see the light of day again. This is disgraceful, and it's inhuman, and it comes from a clutch of hypocrites who have been entrusted and have betrayed their charge in the rape and torture of the most innocent. I'll be back with more with my instructor, the Warrior Princess Black Belt, Taylor Saucer. The Darrell McClain Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. Get a membership for as little as $3 a month at www.patreon.com/TheDarrellMcClain Show. So, the moment has come. We actually have my professor, or one of my instructors, Taylor Saucer, on the show. I normally have her on for fun stuff, but now we have to have her on for this serious topic. First off, good afternoon, Taylor.
Good afternoon. Sorry, that's my serious voice.
That's good. This is a serious topic. Besides this, how is your day today?
My day's good. I'm training, getting ready for my first tournament back post-surgery. Well, my first black belt tournament back post-surgery. So I'm happy about that. But there's been a lot of new findings and allegations and stories coming out about a lot of really, can I say a cuss word?
Yes, you can.
A lot of really fucked up stuff happening in the jiu-jitsu community. So it's been kind of, it's been like weighing on me. It's been like making me think a lot, like as a gym owner, you know, making me like reconsider how I run things and how things should be run. And so, you know, it leaves a lot up to, it leaves a lot of like unanswered questions, and you know.
And when you heard the allegations, what were your initial reactions about kind of what you heard?
So, and then like I've heard this a lot. People are going like, "Oh, this is like the Me Too movement of jiu-jitsu," and I'm like, "Well, you know, it's not that. You know, it's just this kind of stuff happens in all facets of life." You hear stuff about you know, sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, sexual abuse in Boy Scouts, like the Larry Nassar thing with the women's gymnastics team. Like, this stuff happens everywhere. So it's really disheartening to hear that it's happening in my sport. But at the end of the day, it's almost like, it's like, well, what, you know, what do you expect? It's like one of my friends, she posted about it. She was like, jiu-jitsu is like a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is the world. So jiu-jitsu is a reflection of what's happening in the outside world. And this stuff happens all the time. And these situations get handled poorly, you know, all over, you know. In the situation was handled poorly in USA Gymnastics. You know, you think about like the girls in Surviving R. Kelly, you know, stuff like that, like parents just like, they're getting paid off. You know, things are getting brushed under the rug, and it, you know, we're not tarring and feathering these fucking rapists. So the shit goes on. And I mean, personally, like when I was 16, I had someone from my gym, like I'm the daughter of the instructor of my gym. And when I was 16 years old, one of the guys from my gym inappropriately messaged me on Facebook. And, you know, while there was nothing said that was like totally incriminating, where it would be like, oh, that guy has very malicious intentions with you, you know, that's what grooming is. They start off as that. And if you're a young, naive girl and you don't know better, you know, you can't, there's nothing you can do. The predators that you have to teach your kids about, they are hiding in plain sight. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So for me, like in that situation, I knew that was wrong. And I didn't even, like, I'm looking back and it's like, you know, people go, why did they take so long to say something? Well, there's a lot of shame involved in that. And then for two, like, I knew that if I told my dad about that, like bad things would happen to this guy, or, you know, he would get in really big trouble. I knew that it was wrong and I didn't want to say anything, but I ended up telling my dad, just being like, hey, I just want to be very clear. Like, nothing happened. I just want you to know that this person said this to me, and I think that this is inappropriate. And my dad said something, and slowly but surely that guy stopped coming as much. But it's, you know, that he's the one feeling shame now. He's the one feeling shame, not me.
I think everything you said is spot on. It is a jiu-jitsu. The problems that we have, we're not insulated from the outside world. So it's just like COVID. If COVID hits the outside world, it's going to hit jiu-jitsu. So it's we've been having these conversations around sex and men and women and sexual harassment and rape and inappropriate touching and et cetera, harassment in the workplace, harassment in a place that a business for years. So it was only a matter of time before it hit jiu-jitsu, or we were naive, all of us, a bit, to think that it wasn't going on because people were quiet about it. And I think we can just apply the same type of reasoning and the principles to it. Of course, when you have somebody in a position of leadership, like the Boy Scouts or the priest, you can think, if people we put on hierarchies in those institutions fail, if the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, can have allegations, if Joe Biden can have allegations, then people who are less than that will do those same things. You know, we're not insulated from it. It's just, it's a smaller community. So, of course, it happens. It happens in the core of officers in the military. You know, the women just came out with these bombshell reports last year. And you think that the hierarchy of the echelons of power, if people don't know better, then people in smaller communities are going to practically act the same, and they're going to use some of the same silly bullshit excuses. It's the same type of logic, the same victim blaming. And when it comes to grooming, it is very dangerous because predators know they just can't come up and knock you over the head with a hammer anymore.
And the nature of jiu-jitsu is so intimate that while someone may be like losing their mind sitting in some 16-year-old girl's guard, you know, because secretly he's a fucking pedo, you know, that's, it doesn't look like anything else. And on the other end of it, it's like, with this hierarchy, just because someone's really fucking good at jiu-jitsu is a renowned black belt, they don't have a degree in human resources and workspace environments and things like that. They're not, a majority of these people aren't trained to deal with these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
And so it's only, I'm not saying it's only logical that the right thing isn't going to happen when these situations are brought to them. But like the likelihood of it not being handled correctly is high because they don't know what to do. It's obviously a sticky situation. And for people with like a moral compass that are like, hey, this never should happen. This is insane. This is crazy. Go throw this dude to the wolves. Other people are like, shh, don't say, oh, you're going to ruin this camp. Don't say anything.
Yeah. And I've seen that in large society as well. Stuff will happen, and then what happens is normally the institutions try to protect the institution at the downfall and the ignoring of the person who's been hurt. And normally the person who has suffered is the one that's tarred and feathered. So when it comes to these things with these women, especially to be frank, these prepubescent girls who don't know any better, they internalize all the shame themselves, so they'll keep quiet, or the people that they looked up to for all these years will shame them into silence, or it may be some of those people who they've looked up to, so they're confused about the nature of everything that's going on in the first place. And it's becomes this thing where I read one story where the girl was underage drinking. So, of course, when she gets to the part where she has to tell her instructor, she already knows, and so does everybody else, that the first thing they're going to say is, well, what were you doing? You had alcohol. And they're going to do this false equivalency.
Who gave it to her?
Yeah, yeah. But it's also this common sense notion that everybody with the heart and empathy knows, like, one does not justify the other. You know,
no, it's never okay. I mean, that's like, I just wrecked my brand new car, but it's okay. I was drinking. No, it's not okay. That's not okay.
Yeah. And
I accidentally cheated on my wife. Whoops. I was drinking. No, that doesn't mean that that's okay. It's not an excuse. It's not, you know, that those are just tools of the trade. You know, someone gave that girl alcohol and sexually abused her.
Yeah, with the one that I read at that camp, it was egregious and worse.
It was fucking disgusting.
Because
to me, I wanted to give some of these parties the benefit of the doubt, because this is a lot of information that's coming out that it seems pretty clear and laid out for everyone to see, like, what happened, and we can make the assumption ourselves. But I wanted to still, you know, I didn't want to just completely discredit all of these players involved in this. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, maybe the benefit of the doubt. But when I heard that, I was like, this is completely inappropriate. This guy does not know how to handle these kind of situations. He does it wrong every single time. And he told this woman she was ruining the camp after a guy snuck into her room and tried to rape her. Like,
I can't
really understand.
Yeah, after the guy got the key from the front desk, went to her room.
There's no empathy. There's no empathy for this. It's like, maybe you can't understand this because you're not in a position where, like, someone would come into your room and dominate you because you're a big, strong man. Like, yeah, nobody's gonna rape you. You're gonna be able to defend yourself. But like, as a woman or a teenager or, you know, anything. I mean, it happens to teenage boys sometimes too. And people go, oh, that's not right. I literally fought a woman who was having a sexual relationship with her coach's 16-year-old son, like a grown woman. And I think they still date too. But I just remember someone told me that. And when I fought her, I was like, I'm going to fuck this woman up. Like,
yeah.
Every ounce of my being was like, what's your why for fighting? That day, it had nothing to do with my real why. It was just like, But, you know, I don't want to take the light away from what is severely affecting women and teenage girls in jiu-jitsu, because that's like the main thing. And as someone that's like trying to grow my women's program in my gym, as someone that's a woman, you know, a woman gym owner, I just, to me, all these questions start to come into my mind. I'm like, well, how can I make it so this doesn't happen at my gym? And the fact of the matter is, like, I can't control the things that happen outside of my gym. I can't control the messages that, you know, the people that are intermingling in the gym send each other. I can't do that. But what I can do is, like, you know, create an environment that's safe for everyone, no matter what. And just let it be known. Like, it's the same if, like, your kid gets kidnapped. There's nothing you can really do at the end of the day. If someone's going to kidnap your kid, they're probably going to take your kid.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this, like, if there's no measures in place to prevent the kind of stuff from happening, that's on me. And so it's been kind of eye-opening for me, because at first I was like, oh, well, this would never happen at my gym because I'm the head instructor and I'm a woman. So surely these people will respect that and respect the woman's place in the gym, but it's just not true. Like, I can't just be blind to the fact, and I can't not say something about this. You know, part of me, I wanted to say something to, like, the guys at the gym last night, but I was like, you know, I felt like I shouldn't say something, because I was like, oh, these guys just all know better. And it's like,
yeah,
that doesn't stop people. People well, do know right and wrong, because that's why you see all these motherfuckers running away with their tails between their legs, because they know that it's wrong. It's not okay. And it's fucking detrimental to people's mental health and their lives forever.
I can't pre-assume that people do know better, because people are not the products of the upbringing that I have. And people also do not have the access. They do have the access, but I cannot pre-assume that they have access to information that I know that made me formulate my beliefs. You get what I'm saying? My belief concept around consent is very different because, well, from the age of 19, I was in some form of law enforcement. So my view on sexual consent is very concrete. It wasn't about anything that society gave me. It was something that I got indoctrinated into me from the federal government. This is against the law. Full stop. So I don't pre-assume that people know, because over the years I've had to handcuff people at the very top of institutions that you would think should know this was inappropriate, or they should have known at this point in time, I should have shut this shit down. So that's like step number one. So it's like, if I were to, every time somebody comes into the gym and signs up, I say, look, you know, we have 15 women here. We don't segregate the men from the women. This shit is not allowed. You know, that's one. Two, it's the, I know the people who go to my gym. I know how they behave. I know how they interact. I may not know everybody's name, but I know them enough that if I see somebody's personality has changed around something or someone in the gym, you know, maybe these people used to roll every day. Maybe they used to hang out and then they stopped doing it. I kind of take a notice to what changed. And it's just little stuff like that, to where maybe I have to ask an uncomfortable question, you know, privately, you know, and say, is there anything going on? Did anything happen? I may know the bubbly kid who used to be full of life and joy, and now there's something different around her, you know, and I may see an instructor who seems to have this pattern where he takes an abnormal interest in either the girls that are young or the boys that are young, or a particular student in ways that he doesn't take interest in, you know, everybody else. And right. And so it's just like, that comes with, honestly, just researching and studying the patterns and the behavior of people who do these types of things. And there is a waiting out process. There is a watching. There is a, let's see who's vulnerable in the gym. Let's see who has a single parent, you know, and then you have, it's kind of tricky because you have to even investigate people who are doing things out of good intentions. You know, the person who's always trying to isolate people and get them on out of town trips and volunteer to do things. You have to kind of think, oh, you know, wait a minute, this person's going to be alone with these people in these hotels. How good do I actually know this person? You know, and if you can say stuff that may piss people off, but it may help, like, hey, you know, when you're at the tournament, or if you're going out of town with this group of kids, maybe you shouldn't drink if there's no parents around, you know, because it's not that drinking is illegal, but drinking definitely changes your personality. And that's the reason why people do stuff that they wouldn't do, you know, when they're under those things. But it's also just this, I had a very different reaction when I read it, probably for about 40 or so seconds. I thought, oh man, I you know, because it was people I liked. I had just bought instructional from one of the pieces of shit. And so I was like, oh, you know, this is crazy. Let me read into it. And then right when I popped up and saw two dates, I was like, oh, you don't get my benefit of the doubt, because you had 4 years to talk about this one. You had 2 years to talk about this one. And for 365 days or 1,000 days or 1,600, you chose to do nothing. So your bullshit apology statements mean nothing to me, because you're only apologizing because you got caught. You didn't give a shit about those kids. You didn't care about their families. You didn't care about the trauma. You didn't care about the psychology therapist they're going to need. You didn't care about the rehabilitation to their self-esteem. You didn't care about ruining their sex lives. You didn't care about anything until people found out about it. And now you can issue every apology statement that you want. You chose sides. You chose sides because we can see who's at your gym and who's not at your gym. We can, and it's like all you did was protect the people who did the violation. And then the stupid statement about, oh my goodness, you know, the person is, I'm the godfather to their children. Tough titty. You know, sometimes that's just the wagon that they hitch themselves onto. When, if somebody gets impeached, you don't necessarily think about their family. You think about the person who did the bad thing. And you think about the victims and the consequences. When somebody goes to jail, well, yeah, they have a family too. Yeah, but they did the crime. They have to do the time. And it was all this empathy and forgiveness and redemption for the people who did the thing, but not for the people who were hurt by the actions. And so those...
Ingrained for it. Like, this is the biggest thing victim blaming. I haven't really like seen that. I've heard the term, but I haven't really seen it so much. Like, you know, I was sexually assaulted. And then someone goes, well, what were you wearing? Yo, that doesn't matter. In it doesn't matter at all what I was wearing. You do not put your hands on someone without consent. You know, oh, well, was the 16, not an adult. I don't care what anybody says. You are not an adult. If you're 17, you're not an adult. Even if you're in like a state where the consenting age is 17, you're still not an adult. Like, that's how it is here. You are not an adult. And for someone to try and blame that on that girl, I don't care if she was groping this man like in the gym or something. Like, she literally did that. But she's a 16-year-old kid. You know, it was your choice to pursue that. And you are the perpetrator of this offense.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't think that that's how it was. I think that this man went after this girl. He spent a lot of time with her. And he did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And the people that were around him that enabled him also did the wrong thing. So it's just like all of these bad things happening. And it's so crappy. And I think a lot of people don't want to say stuff. They're like, oh, I don't want to make jiu-jitsu look bad. It's like, dude, I'm still training. I'm not going to stop training, you know, but it's good that this comes to light, because this is going to change how my gym is going forward. You know, I'm not ripping out all the mats and doing different stuff now. I'm not separating the men from the women. It's, you know, that's not necessary, in my opinion, for my gym right now at the time.
Yeah.
You know, but... like instructors that are teaching my kids, granted it's only me right now and I can only control me, So my kids are good in the gym, but like, you know, if we do hire more instructors, if I bring people in, like you were saying, if I just notice some people acting weird or yeah. And sometimes that's not even enough. Like I can't stop all the bad things from happening, but like I can do to the best of my ability, anything I can to like not let situations like that happen.
Yeah, you will never.
It's really sad.
Yeah, you will never 100% be able to bubble wrap society to protect it from everything. But you can put certain safeguards in place to try to protect the people who are the most vulnerable from the people who are the most predatory. So I look at it in the simple fact of, to me, it's very telling because I think very deeply about why people make certain choices. So if somebody were to tell me this happened to female X, my initial reaction would not be what was female X doing. I would think about the person who is the adult, the person who should know better, who did the things that were inappropriate. Because one, from a psychological standpoint, the human brain doesn't even start fully forming until you're around 23 to 24. So that's just from a psychological standpoint. From a practical standpoint, everybody who listens to this knows they didn't know what they know now when they were 14, 13 years old. The way you see the world is so convoluted, and you think you know everything and you think you're ready for everything right up until you get in these bad situations that you can't get yourself out of. And that could be with anything from experimental drugs to taking trips or running away from home or in anything or saying that crazy thing to the principal. The things you do at those ages are not these justifications for people who are around you to then be opportunistic and exploit the situations. So I read that the young lady started when she was 11. So I can't, you know, verify that the guy has access to her since she was 11, but it said she started when she was 11 and the first sexual relationship between those two happened when she was 16. On her, you know, after her 16th birthday, and she told a friend, and then her friend promptly told the police. So my thinking around it is nobody who has never touched anybody before or never had feelings like this towards somebody, pedophilia before, just waits in the wings until they're 16 before they have their first contact. They have been buttering this child up from the day that they noticed her. And it's creepy because it's literally somebody laying in wait, watching somebody since they were the most innocence of a child.
Like a little baby child and has been alive for 10, 11 years. Like, and then, only has been walking on the earth for 10 years. I mean, I'm 25 and I just still feel like now, you know, like, when I was in high school, this kind of shit, even when I was like 18, 19, like, this shit is bad. And people do that. And it's just really unfortunate that it happens in that gym. And it's even more unfortunate that the situation wasn't handled correctly. And another girl came out and I'm happy that, like, it makes me sad every time I see it, but more when people all stand in solidarity and are like, hey, this happened to me, this stuff comes out, and it makes people think about things that have happened to them.
Yeah.
And a girl shared her story, and when she was 17, the same thing happened to her. And she knew it was wrong, and she ended up telling her parents and her coaches and some other people, and they all blamed her. And I just can't even, it hurts my heart so bad, because that's just like a total situation. You know, this girl was homeschooled, like didn't go to school with other kids, did a lot of jiu-jitsu, spent a lot of time with adults, which, you know, is very insane.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, you know, I see all these like medal chasing parents and they're like, all right, we're going to homeschool you and send you to jiu-jitsu. And you're going to be there all the time with a bunch of grown men getting sweaty, hanging out each other's guards. I don't mean to talk about jiu-jitsu like we're just chilling in people's legs, but yeah, like, you know what I mean? It's
It's very close enough personal, yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally, you know, touched someone inappropriately, but it's, you know, obviously an accident, you know? But God forbid somebody has ill intentions and they're like, oops, oops.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean, like, fuck, dude, it's just, it,
yeah.
It's also on, I cannot believe, you know, someone's parents were like, this is on you. What
yeah,
were you doing?
But
what were you wearing? You
know? I can believe it only because these conversations around this type of topic keep coming up, and they keep coming up for a reason, and people don't like it. But when I was in college, you know, it wasn't the Me Too era wasn't out yet. But what we were talking about then was rape culture. And was rape culture a thing? And I remember the visceral reaction to people saying rape culture wasn't a thing. And I was just sitting and listening to the things.
You've lost your mind.
That
have you ever been in a club
yeah.
or a party and you just watch drunk dudes? Like, this is why I don't like to go out and drink like that. Because
yeah.
you just see, like, people get, like, predatorized.
Exactly. And so I was asking common sense questions that I know that everybody, when they're being honest, they know exactly that they engage in the behavior. So I said something like, and I still remember, but it was something simple like, when you are interested in a girl, or if you're gay, if you're interested in somebody in the same sex, and you're uninteresting, what's the first thing that you normally do if you see them out at a bar? You give them a drink. And I was like, why do you do that? You know, you're not necessarily doing it to be nice, although you could be being nice. You're doing it because it takes their edge off. It's like, all right, ding dong. That's problem number one. You know this wouldn't
that
happen.
That turns no to a maybe real quick.
Yeah, you know this interaction would not happen in any normal sense. So you do these little things to make it happen. And I should tell them the statutes call that coercion. And it's still a form of rape. Like any interaction that wouldn't happen unless you introduce these substances, yeah, you're still a rapist. You don't have to be knocking somebody over the head and ripping their clothes off. And so we would have conversations about consent. And the amount of stuff that I knew, like if somebody says no at the beginning of the date and you kiss them and you start doing all these things and then they say yes, no, the first no is the one that counts, not everything that happened after. But it would just be like, yeah, that's just coercion. Anything that happens after the initial no doesn't count. And then the fact of the matter is people didn't know that in several states, most states, you can't say yes to any activity under the influence of substances. And then two, minors don't have the right yet to say yes to anything. They're not old enough to. But it's just this hyper, the barricading themselves behind these bad behaviors is a telltale sign that deep down in their own heart, they know they've done stuff like this before. Or have they seen it and they didn't say anything? Are they justified it? And the parents are a part of the problem because there's a purity standard around little girls and women that boys don't have to deal with. And so even in like hip hop culture, there's a rapper by the name of Young Bootsy who can't keep his mouth shut about anything that's gay. And then it came out a few years ago that when his son turned 13, he bought his son a prostitute and made a grown woman have sex with his minor child. And I was like, yeah, so you paid somebody to rape your kid. And like, but to my not surprise, thousands of people said that was 100% justified. No, that's what you do. That's how you got to introduce them to. And I was like, yeah, you all are a bunch of sick, disgusting little pedophiles, you know? And if you think that's normal, that you're buying people to rape your kids the second they turn of age, that's the culture that you bring this. Yeah,
I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's the culture that you have this rub up against because you're asking people who are at the end of the day half a chromosome away from being a chimpanzee and are extremely proud of it to have all these ethical standards, and it's like they're just saying no. We don't want to do it because we're predators and we want to get laid and we also want to be rich. And you need to just notice all the good stuff we do and don't notice anything we do in our private lives. And then they blanket anything anybody does wrong. They blackmail you with your notion of forgiveness. That all, you know, we all aren't perfect. You know, God is working on all of us.
People make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there were a lot of mistakes that were made before that ultimate mistake was made.
Well, it's the uncomfortable.
There were a lot of situations. He didn't just one day go, oh, I'm going to have sex with this teenager, this child. You know, there were things that happened before that happened where someone with a moral compass could have been like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I've got a wife at home. I've got kids. This is illegal. I can go to jail for a long time. Another thing, prison is a microcosm of bad people of the world. And why is it that the people that are pedophiles and rapists get fucked up the worst? Because even people that commit murders know that those are the worst kinds of fucking people. You know, it's not. Just from happenstance. Like, this is how it is. This isn't okay.
Yeah, it's also a practical implication of a lot of people in prison don't have contacts with their family. So you don't know who was touched. And so you have that weird thing that this could be a girl I know. Or this could be, you know, my cousin. Or that was my cousin. And so it becomes this thing. But it's also, to stretch that to the practical implication, also, people who rape people in prison get more prison time. Even in jail, they say, hey, this is still wrong, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's just in this, and I find it so perplexing that in this society where we like the fact that women wear revealing stuff, we like provocative music, we like things like that. But the second anything happens, we immediately become hyper, like, Taliban-y. Like, oh my goodness, what were you wearing? What were you doing? It's like, oh, do I have to be dressed like a nun, you know, all the time to not let inappropriate stuff happen?
Women in burqas get raped. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm walking down the street naked and someone grabs me and touches me, that's still illegal.
Yeah, that's.
There's no such thing as asking for it.
Yeah, that's a very old school quote. Even if you didn't know, the late comedian Dick Gregory said that. He said, "If I'm walking down the street butt naked, you still don't have the right to rape me." And it was kind of shocking.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then I thought, like, you know, he's right. We do have in this country and other countries nude beaches. That doesn't mean you just go out there and wait and do everything you can with people. And I looked at it from a very, when I first heard it, I went through this cycle of anger and disappointment. Angry because I am a man who tries to protect the people that I care about. And then I had to wrestle with the fact that I was raised by most women. Most of the McLeans that are around are women. And so it was just like this. I wonder, do my sisters have to go through this? I wonder, do my aunts? I wonder, does Taylor? I wonder, does, you know, if every woman that I thought about who I've known from the military. And so it was just this very, like, what can I do to protect them? You know, if something was going on, would they actually tell me? If I saw something that was inappropriate, would I know what I was seeing? You know, how can I discern the difference between a bad relationship or a relationship that may be difficult because all relationships are difficult and a relationship that's inherently predatory? And I really had to step back. And like last night, I kind of thought the same thing. I was just kind of looking at everybody in a very different light to where I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt of being genuine and decent people, but it's one of those things where,
anyone.
But yeah.
I bet there's plenty of people that train with that guy that can't believe that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's also this human thing that's unavoidable that we still have to work on against our very nature, which is doing the thing where we say they were so nice to me. It's like, yeah, they didn't want to fuck you. So, of course, you weren't on the menu. You know, serial killers also have friends who are alive. You know,
it wasn't your daughter. It wasn't your sister.
Yeah. And so when it came to the people who are friends with the individual, my statements are basically, you know, if your friends, for the most part, you know their habits, if they're your close friends. If you're the person that's not intervening and trying to introduce them to people their own age or asking them difficult questions, hey man, what's going on over here? Or hey man, you have a family? Or is this really something you want to do? Or I don't think that's inappropriate. You're not a real friend if you do not have the capability of telling somebody the truth. The most loving thing you can do is tell somebody the truth. You know, letting them do things that are destructive for them and everybody else is not a good friend. It's just a coward, to be honest. You want to be liked, so you don't want to say anything. And then the other thing was the my noticing of everybody who normally has an opinion about everything on the planet. They have an opinion on COVID. They have an opinion on Trump. They have an opinion on Biden. They have an opinion on masks. They wouldn't say a mumbling word. And I was like, your silence is telling and your silence is complicity.
It speaks volumes. And so I think it was about a year or two ago. My dogs are just having fun.
Oh, no worries.
A really prominent jiu-jitsu black belt woman came out and was like in a... Hold on, let me put them out real quick. Go. So like a prominent jiu-jitsu woman came out and was talking about how she had been, you know, sexually assaulted by her coach. And she was just so shocked that it happened. She said she just went numb. Her body was just lifeless, you know, and she was just laying there and it happened. But it wasn't, you know, like when people hear the story, they're like, oh, he didn't like force you to do it. You just laid there. But it's like, if you're trying to like penetrate someone and they're laying there lifeless, not move, you know what I mean? And like she came out with it. And at that same time, one of the guys from Flow Grappling was like, oh no, BJJ is going to have its hashtag Me Too movement. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? What do you mean we're going to have our Me Too movement? It's like, you should be happy that people are coming out and saying this stuff, because in jiu-jitsu, we have these fucking soup pieces of cloth tied around our waist, and it gives you like value. We have this hierarchical thing going on. And so people, you know, don't want to believe that people put people on pedestals, and they don't want to believe that they're idols. Are human as fuck and do bad things and don't do the right thing. And after all this came out, her coach banned women from training at their gym. what does that mean? What does that mean if you won't let women back in your gym?
Yeah, it's this crazy thing. Like I said, instead of punishing the people who are doing the bad thing, they punish the people who suffer. You know, instead of punishing the people who are doing the oppressing, they punish the oppressors for talking about it. And it's kind of endemic to a lot of things you see in larger society, where somebody in a position of authority abuses their power, and you normally get annoyed about the people who are protesting. It's just, I see that in movements. It's as American as apple pie. It's disgusting, but I see it in almost every situation. It is ingrained in the DNA of human beings, even everybody that acts like they're rugged individualists who just are so free. We really do pick leaders de facto and put them on pedestals. And the people who we pick as leaders, whether it's Trump or Biden or the guy I like at the grocery store, the Bible has a verse where Paul says, love covers a multitude of sins. And I used to tell people, think about that deeply and understand what that means. when you love something or you like somebody, you don't see the bull. You don't see the problems. Everybody else who doesn't like them or who like you a lot more do. If you love somebody, you'll let them abuse you. You'll let them abuse other people. You'll justify every bad behavior they do. It can't be them because I love them. It has to be this person doing something against them. And so we have that thing inside of us, and it postulates outward to almost anything we see. Very few people question their own leaders. You know, very few people step back and say, wait a minute, is, you know, I'm a Democrat. Are the Democrats full of shit about this thing? You know, or I'm a Republican. What's the likelihood that I've been right about everything my entire life? You know, and it's just, that doesn't happen often. So when we put people up on the pedestals, it is very hard for us to watch outsiders or who people we perceive as outsiders knock them down. You brought up the example about the Catholic Church, and that's so prescient because when you think Catholic, if you're a non-Catholic, it's literally the first thing you think about. You think Catholic and you think pedophilia. But we still know there's like 170 million or so, I think probably a billion Catholics. You know, you're like, ooh, who thinks, yeah, that's what I want to do. But it's like, yeah, if you're inside the institution, you don't believe the people that are on the outside. You think, oh, it's just a bad apple. You know, if you're in a police department that has problems, it's very difficult for the people inside the department to see the problems because there's certain individuals that are good in the department and you cling to the things that are good and you neglect things that are attacking the institution. You think about the good thing that person did that time to you. Therefore, de facto, this can't be true. They had to do something. Unfortunately, in society, the jiu-jitsu punishes the weak instead of rewarding them. It's a system that it's actually kind of strange. Because it's a nuanced and it's a contradictory. So it's like we reward the loudest, bombastic, brash, trash talking people in society. We pretend, we teach our children don't be like that. But in all actuality, we all like every athlete because they talk trash. Muhammad Ali, or Mike Tyson.
Just loudly humble.
Yeah.
Look at me. Look how humble I am.
Yeah.
Look how much I believe in God and...
Yeah, and so the quiet person who just goes to the tournament, wins their matches, doesn't celebrate, is quiet, goes to church. You wouldn't know what they believed unless you personally asked them. You know, they get no attention. You don't even know they exist. You know, what we tell young children to emulate is actually not what we reward, and that's from jiu-jitsu to politics. We can say, oh, yes, listen to the other side, yada, yada, yada. But everybody likes the bombastic bomb thrower. And it's like, yeah, you know, he went for the juggler. It's like, yeah. Now, imagine your kid doing that in the classroom to the teacher who says something he disagrees with. Do you think he's going to be a productive member of society or he's going to be the one that's facing the police in a bad situation? He's going to be the one screaming in the courtroom. You know, it's this massive contradiction that we have, and a lot of people exploit those contradictions. And when I say they're doing it, and they're doing it knowingly, nobody accidentally rapes anybody. Nobody accidentally commits pedophilia. Nobody accidentally, when an allegation is brought towards you, points the finger at the person bringing the allegation. That's not an accident. Nobody accidentally covers up something for 2 years. Nobody accidentally reaches out to a gym affiliate and says, you need to pay this person $35,000.
And keeps letting him come to their gym.
Yeah.
And keeps letting them be around children.
Yeah.
You know, and part of this that sucks the most is one of the guys that he was like training at his gym has a daughter.
Yeah.
And I think she's like, you know, of age now and stuff. But I'm like, dude, how do you feel having that guy around? Like, when your kid is there.
And it's one of those. I can tell
you, if my dad knew something about that, or something like that, about a human that was coming to our gym, they wouldn't be allowed in. You know, it's completely inappropriate. We accept people from all facets of life, but that's one of them where you can't fucking come to our gym.
Yeah, it was something where I literally thought, you know, I want to move back to Florida, where I'm from. And I was sitting thinking, like, so if I have an instructor that comes to a gym that, you know, by the glory of God, one day I get to open, I'm probably going to be the guy that does background checks on my instructors and be like, look, if you got some traffic tickets or you fought that guy one day and stuff like that, I can understand stuff happens. If you have this sex stuff or you can't work here, you can't teach here, you can come here maybe for private sessions one-on-one with me. You know, you can pay $40 a session. I'm not sure if I'm going to allow you around these people because I'm giving you access to these things. And does that make me judgmental? Yes. It also makes me protect the vulnerable. And it also says, look, you did these things and these are the penalties for these things. You know, that's the way all legal societies work. You commit a felony. Yes, I believe in redemption, but you can't vote. You know, there's some states that say, hey, you know what? You can't do it for this amount of time. I think that's perfectly reasonable. But we do have to understand you did something. And you have to, this is your penalty for doing it. So there are certain safeguards that I think can happen. And I think it will start to happen. I don't have all the answers, but I do know I'm struggling right now because I am somebody who tells a lot of women to go to jiu-jitsu. And I even told my friend the other day, I said, just go to women's classes. I said, just roll with the women. And I was like, and then I felt bad that I was saying it, but I was just like, I can't see what's going on. You know, if I'm rolling with somebody and somebody is grabbing you too hard and I'm thinking this guy's doing this because he hates women, you know, and I was like, and those are thoughts that I don't want to have. But I was like, it's this safeguard that because people are crappy, I have to put around people that I care about. Because for the first time, I was, you know, I've always had this notion of, oh, if I have a daughter, I want her to do jiu-jitsu. I want her to be just like Taylor. And then I was like, oh my God, if I have a daughter, I'm going to have to be there 24 hours a day because I can't trust I can't trust these people. And then I have no problem calling these people's names. Wagner Rocha, you know, one of the fight sports people who put out a stupid ass statement about, he came to my gym and I told him to never come and he I'd never seen him since then.
But he's in there. And there's then, videos of him. And he came out yesterday and said, he's been in my gym.
Yeah, so it's just like the one that was a lie.
That he was lying in his first statement.
Yeah, and then
nobody wants to. You're only doing that because this is blowing up so big.
Yeah, and
now
then
that everyone knows. Now that the flame is burning, you're trying to put it out with your spit, and it's not going to fucking work.
And then I literally thought about, I heard a Wagner Rocha interview on Red Naked Radio with my friend Jamie Kilstein, and I thought about it because Wagner was talking about helicopter parents, and he was saying, I tell parents all the time not to hang out at my gym. He's like, if you trust me and you trust my affiliation, leave. Let us. And I was just like, ew.
That's crazy. That's real crazy to know after the fact.
Yeah, so.
2020. You know what I mean? When you look back and think about him saying that and think about what happened and the kind of person he allowed to be in his gym when he knew what was going on, you know, it's fucking disgusting to know that these people, I saw a girl post something today and she was like, I'm not sure what her profession is, but she was very savvy in the human resources departments of businesses and organizations. And she was like, this is what you got to do. You got to do these three things. It was like sexual harassment training. You know, you need to just pretty much have people doing the right thing. And it's like, man, I've never heard of anyone anywhere doing that at all in any gym. You know, and I can see, you know, even when it goes to like other facets of life, like for example, at the gym that I work at, the weightlifting gym, you know, there's stuff that happens, nothing bad, but there's just the potential for bad things to happen a lot. Or like, you know, verbal harassment to go on, or verbal sexual harassment and things like that.
Catcalling.
And it's like, what can we do to keep this a safe place for everyone and make sure that those things don't happen and keep everybody comfortable and protect the vulnerable, protect the vulnerable people in the gym, the women, the children.
Yeah. And I used to be so annoyed when I was going through it, but I used to always wonder, you know, the Navy, you know, always had all these safety stand downs where you had to do this sexual assault training, blah, blah, blah training, diversity training, and everybody hated it.
Everything's a rule for a reason.
Yeah, and I actually had one of my mentors, who Tony Knuckles, who does a radio show, said, every rule is written in blood. He said, trust me, we do it because somebody stupid has done the opposite. And now I think about it, I say, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I don't do simply because I was taught, you don't do these things. Like, this is how, you may think this is okay, but this is how this actually looks. This is how this is perceived. Like, and so I think about something simple like yoga pants. Like, yeah, everybody likes to look. There's a difference between looking, and I literally have seen people pull out their phone and try to snag a picture. Like, it's like, okay, you have a problem. And I actually had a female chief say this one time. She was given a stand down, and she said, there's no problem with looking, but there's also, she said, the problem is when you sit at the window like you really need to buy. And I was like, yeah. And so it's just like, a lot of stuff is predatory, but a lot of stuff is also ignorant. And when I mean ignorant, I don't mean stupid. I mean ignorant. You just don't know. Nobody's ever taught you that you don't do those things. Like the women and the men who come inside of your institution, in this situation, your gym, are co-equals. And you treat them as such. You don't look at the men like, oh my goodness, I can't wait till I get him alone. You shouldn't do the women like that either. You know, but it's really just this thing where I used to think this rule was so dumb because it almost goes against human nature, but it is a safeguard. In the military, you can't date anybody in your division, period. It's fraternization. You cannot date anybody who you outrank. You cannot even hang out with people two ranks above you or two ranks below you. The most you can hang out with somebody is if they're two ranks above you. So you can't be an O1 hanging out with an E1. You know, you could be an E1 hanging out with an E4, but if you hang out with an E5, the E5 gets in trouble and so do you. You know, and we used to be like, oh my goodness, that's so crazy. You know, they're the same age. It's like, no, this person has an undue burden and over their career. And I used to be like, what? Mm-hmm. He's just an E4. He doesn't have any power. And I started to think about it. I was like, yes, they really do. Because if you are an E1 and you see this E4 and he made it and you see him doing all these dirtbag things, you're going to think, I can do that too. This is okay. And mm-hmm. if you are, and I saw before, saw people lose their career over it. E8s, you know, or E7s dating E2s. And you're sitting around like, oh, and that chief would do that and he would date that E2. It didn't matter if the E2 was older than them. That chief would lose his career. And it takes an act of Congress to fire a chief. And they would be gone. And I used to be like, oh, it was so heavy-handed. You know, he was such a good guy. But then you're just like, why is this man haven't been able to cultivate a relationship between anybody else in his same rank structure? Why does he have to target the person who doesn't know anything? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, I was talking to some of the guys last night. And they were, you know, again, this is another thing that I forgot to bring up is like jiu-jitsu is a very male-dominated sport. So it almost, just like the military, I mean, the Navy might be a little bit more close to half and half in a sense, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know the full stats on that, but you know,
yeah.
Military to me, when I think about it, is like military in general, not just specific branches. Military in general to me, police force in general, to me, it's usually male dominated. Mm-hmm. Jiu-jitsu is, that's even bigger, like way more men than women. So it's like, you know, these dudes turn caveman mode when a girl shows up to the gym. They're like, oh, you do jiu-jitsu too? That's so great. It's like,
yeah,
keep it in your fucking pants.
And I empathize, not in the bad way. I empathize in the sense where I understand mm-hmm. that jiu-jitsu is kind of a cult-like hobby that people don't understand. I understand that
it's a lifestyle sport, yeah, like skateboarding or surfing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I understand that
you can hang out with people that do it.
Yeah,
it's when I meet a guy that does jiu-jitsu, I'm like, okay, yep, he definitely ticks the biggest box on my list.
Yeah, it's very difficult because like I said, you're gonna notice if somebody at your gym is pretty. You know, you're gonna notice. You're gonna notice that people are sweating. And your brain is going to do that. Oh, I wonder, you know, blah, blah. It's normal, you know, and it's to where I have to tell people, just because it's normal does not mean you take the next logical step. And the most vivid example that I can always think of is, it's perfectly normal for humans to piss and shit all over themselves, but we don't. We came up with commodes and bathrooms, and we don't go pooping in the woods, and we wipe ourselves. Something that is normal, we actually don't do. You know, we used to have privies where everybody went in the bathroom together, and there was no separation. And then we were like, it's kind of weird. I would like my space. And it's like, same. Just because you notice something does not mean you have to comment about something. Does not mean you have to touch stuff. Does not mean you have to say stuff. And it's like,
or smell it.
And it's like, there is,
just had to throw a little funny in there.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I understand, but it's like a practical way to solve some of these real world problems. If there is a girl or if there's a guy at the gym that you like and you're in a position of power, ask them out and then go teach at another gym. That if you like them that much, that's what you got to do. If you want to stay, then be very transparent with everybody at the gym. Say, hey, I like this person. I'm going to ask them out. And that's that. If you have to do it in secret, it's probably a problem. If you would be troubled or dismayed if everybody found out about it, it's probably a problem.
I even thought about that, like for my gym. I know there's a lot of gyms that have like, oh, hey, just so you know, you cannot date anybody here. Like, even know what it's called?
Fraternizing
policy.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I need to do that? But like, I don't, you know, this is a level that I don't want to get to. I don't want to say, no, you can't date people here. But like, I will tell you, hey, this, you know, have you thought this through?
Yeah.
Have you thought about if you guys break up? Have you thought about how this is going to be? Because at the end of the day, if both of you guys aren't going to be still training there and happy about it, you probably just shouldn't do it at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like being in the gym, like it's going to happen because you're with these people all the time, every day, even more so with me because I'm there every single day. So there's constant flux of people coming in that, you know, and I am a young, attractive woman. Like I get it, you know, but there's a line that you can't cross.
You know?
And once you do cross that line, the consequences are more severe.
Yeah,
they're bigger.
They're more
issues happen.
More dire. I understand it, but I also think about it from the practical application of, let's say there's a consensual relationship that starts in the gym between one person you may like and one person you're not sure about. If you see that person treating that other person wrong, you're going to immediately target that person in the gym now. And everybody's going to pick up on it. And now you've kind of poisoned the culture at your gym. Or it doesn't work out. And now you're sitting there like, oh yeah, you fucked over my friend. And so now this person you had this nice relationship with before these people dated, you actually secretly are putting them in moves, trying to hurt them. You're doing all the dick stuff to kind of, and it's just one of those things where that's unavoidable. Because as a human, you try to protect people that you love. And so it's just the the amount of relationships that end kind of makes you think, like you said, is this juice worth the squeeze? What's going to happen to everybody at this gym when I do this thing?
A strict vetting process for all that.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, I have to understand in this potential relationship, if this goes bad, I'm forcing everybody in this gym to take sides. I didn't ask them to, but they will. You know, it's human nature.
Yeah.
And it's just like the guy that you see that you like, but one day you see him screaming at his wife. You immediately have a visceral reaction towards him. And mm-hmm. don't even know what happened. And it's just kind of how it is. And that's why I kind of say it sucks, because you're going to meet cool people and your head's going to do that. Oh my goodness, wouldn't it be so great if we were like, yeah, that's natural. What I'm saying is maybe you have to then make the sacrifice and say, I'm going to go train at the other gym so we can pursue each other. And that way, if it doesn't work out, nobody knows, you know, what happened, you know, mm-hmm. or it's even different to where instructors that I've seen that have successful gyms and they're married, I always think, yeah, that's great. But 50% of marriages end in divorce. If they break up, what happens to that gym? You know, and it's just kind of that nuance that you want to think about, but you don't want to think about at the same time, where it's just like, it sucks sometimes because you meet the most exciting people. And at the same time, when you see somebody growing, it's very easy to mix these things. Like me being happy that you are successful makes you want to reward you with the greatest thing on the planet, me, you know. And it's just like, you have to be able to shut that down, where it's like, there's almost 8 billion people on the earth. You can find somebody else. You know, there's more people than these 50 people in this room.
There's a shit ton of people here. And it's just, you know, I can see how, like, for me as a woman, I'm kind of always going to be attracted to a man that does the same sport as me. I love jiu-jitsu, or just like an athlete in general. But for other guys, I can see how it's like, oh, this is like a unicorn, you know, a girl that does jiu-jitsu. That's so cool. I want a girl like that. But it's like, dude, just leave it alone, you know, because I don't know. I hear a lot of stories about guys that get girlfriends that don't train. They're like, oh, stop training so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop training so much. And that sucks.
It's always going to be like that.
On the other spectrum, you're like, if I get a jiu-jitsu girl, she'll never.
Yeah, but I mean, you know. Yeah, it's always going to be difficult, but that's such is life. When I was a wrestler, they used to have shirts that would say, oh, my girlfriend told me to leave wrestling. I'm definitely going to miss her. You know, and it was kind of like, it was just one of those things where like, yeah, but that's normal in every profession. The investment banker who's always traveling and his wife is a yoga instructor, she doesn't understand why he's doing those things. That's not even important to her. You know what I mean? She would rather have him at home. The guy that's always on deployment, that's, you know, fighting for democracy and freedom, you know, his children don't understand. They want Papa at home, you know. And so it's kind of the same. The guy that's out training all the time, the people who love him and want to see him and want to have drinks and want to do other stuff, they're going to be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. All you want to do is go get sweaty with them. You can stay home and get sweaty with me. You know, that's normal. But it's like the other option also comes with some watchdogs. Some either way, you're going to have to give up something.
There's consequences to every action you make. Consequences, so, whether they be good consequences or bad consequences.
Exactly.
You know, that's a risky run. Now, this chick is under 18 at the gym that you like. Big old fat consequences. Like, you know. We had a situation similar to that happen at not our gym, but a gym relative to us in the area. And I was really, you know, looking back on it, I was like, whoa, that was fast. Like, this just happened and then it was over. But I really commend my instructor for how he handled it. it was a 17-year-old girl and a guy that was not 17, an older guy. And whatever happened, I don't know the details of the situation. Whatever happened, this was passed on to my instructor, and the guy was out the next day, never seen again, like never heard from him again. And I was like, wow, it was almost like it seemed like a no questions asked, like this got handled immediately. And so, you know, I just think if these situations would have been handled in that way, like how would these people's lives be different? How would these situations be different? And, you know, part of me, I'm like, you know, I feel bad for all the people that actually train at Fight Sports, and they're like, man, now we're the rape gym. We're molester gym, you know, and that's not their fault. You know, they probably didn't know these things were going on. Some of them probably did, but you know, these are places that have a shit ton of girls, a shit ton of little girls, women, you know, children and stuff like that. So I feel bad for them, but at the end of the day, it's just like, you know,
yeah.
People that we think are really good people do bad shit all the time. And you know, if they would have handled those situations the way my instructor handled this one specific situation, things could have been a lot different. And when all this news and knowledge of this came out, he wouldn't have looked like such an idiot.
Yes, such a sleazeball. And my thing is very simple in the sense of, I feel bad for the people inside of the institution. I feel no sympathy for the owners of the institution whatsoever.
No, that's on them.
I played them the world's smallest violin.
Time and time and time and time again. There was plenty of time before this all happened for them to speak up and say something and lay down the fucking law.
And that's kind of what it is. I feel bad for the athletes, but not as much as I feel for the child.
She's a woman now, and it's like, dude, this happened to you, and how is this going to affect you for the rest of your life?
And
is this going to affect your relationships later on down the line?
And it's the fact that some of these women were brave enough to put their name to paper means that
I can't believe they still do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but
I cannot believe they still want to train after all the stuff that's happened and these things like. It's just that can be a really hard thing to do. And then God forbid, like women that are survivors of sexual abuse come to jiu-jitsu to like regain confidence, to break down these barriers of like feeling uncomfortable maybe around men. And they come to jiu-jitsu and they see all this shit happening, or they hear people, you know, speaking and like just being sexually like harassing, you know, with their words and things like that. And it's like, dude, this is not what we want for this. This is supposed to empower people. You know, the core values of jiu-jitsu are not aligned with anything that happened.
Yeah, and then
in these situations.
And then
this was completely just throwing these women under the bus. Like, it didn't seem like there was a lot of. It just seemed like nobody gave a fuck about them. It doesn't seem like anyone gives a fuck about them. They're just trying to save their asses, and it's really ugly.
Yeah, and it was like I think what we said earlier, where there was no empathy because they thought about a business versus thinking about a person. They didn't think about, what if this happened to my mom? What if this happened to my sister? What if this happened to my child? They didn't think about that student, that girl, as if I have been charged to protect them and they were hurt under my protection. That should have been a spit in the face to them and the ultimate insult. And if they would have thought about it that way, maybe, yes, it would have been all about them, but maybe they would have reacted very differently. Then you would have been hearing about Cyborg beating the shit out of one of his students, and then he would have been like, I'm not going to talk about what happened, but the police have been called. You know, and then he would have seemed like a hero. He'd be like, oh yeah, don't touch his students. But what actually happened is, and I saw...
He stood up for his rapist friend.
And
stood up for his pedophile friend.
And there was another one that came out to where the guy that's releasing it, which is I think he's the head organizer for Abu Dhabi, came out and put another instructor of a kid's class on blast, put his whole criminal record out there, and this guy
already fled to Brazil.
Well, no, this is another dude. I think it was Cody something, but this guy already
the one from Texas.
Yeah, already
he knew about the girl from Texas. And so there was another woman at the gym that knew about it too. And they said, don't say anything because you'll cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. And there was.
I'm going to cause problems. I got fucking molested.
Yeah.
And I'm causing problems.
Yeah. Everybody was knowing about it. And then there was another guy that was asked to leave his gym because of a molestation of one of the young kids. And he teaches at Fight Sports. And they put a picture of him up yesterday. And I was just like, wait a minute. I was like, so this is not just a one-off. It's like three people now. Like,
so when all of the like rape stuff came out about like the Team Lloyd Irvin guys, a lot of his hard hitters ended up leaving. And so I hadn't seen, they were just like, you know what? Don't really want to be associated with this. I'm just going to go my separate ways. There's a lot of people that, you know, owe a lot of their... I can imagine it's a very hard thing to do because you owe a lot of your, like, skill and merit to this team that you're a part of.
Yeah.
And you have to leave that because your morals are not aligned with what they are doing and the actions they're taking. Yeah. And so today I saw a guy who owns a Fight Sports affiliation in the Florida Keys. And he was like, you know, I've been a part of this team for like 10 plus years. I've got this shit tatted on me. He's like, but I just, after hearing what happened, I can't be a part of this anymore. He didn't even say, like, he was like, I don't really know what's going to happen with the future of my team. As in, like, I don't know how we're going to be affiliated, but we're not Fight Sports anymore. And I was like, you know, that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
I know it's a really hard thing to do, but it speaks volumes. And, like, that's the only way that this shit is going to, like, these people need to be hung out to dry.
Yeah,
like,
and it's just... It's one of those things where it's a hard thing, but that's probably why it's the right thing to do. If it was easy, you wouldn't have everybody making the wrong decisions. Because I look at it from a practical implication. If you are part of an organization that's known for doing shady stuff and you're the one good person in the organization, please recognize you're going to become the face of the organization. So every time anything bad happens, they're going to prop you up to say, oh my God, look at how great this guy is. And you will give it legitimacy by your very presence. You know, and it sucks. It's just like there's a reason why bad companies still have public relations people. Because you think, oh my goodness, that nice lady would never do, you know, these things. Or that man would. It's like, yeah, they would. And what they would do is they will placate it. They'll make justifications for it. They'll justify the lesser of two evils. You know, you don't want to close the gym because what about all the people who train here and there's not another gym for 50 miles? And they'll play to your emotions to where you think about everything but the person who's hurting. It's when you do that, the only person that's rewarded are the predators. You know, because they already have the money. You know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to go back in time and take these people's medals away. Nobody's going to take their black belts. Years and years from down the line, when you put
they're
in...
They're still black belts. They're still good at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. When you'll go pull up a video and YouTube, the algorithm will still suggest these people. And if you don't know, you don't know. You know, they still made their millions of bucks and it's like, good. They can keep that, but I don't have to clap for them. And I don't have to watch them. And I don't have to give them my money. And I don't have to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just kind of where I'm at with it. It's like, it sucks having heroes because eventually they're going to do bad things. The best,
all the Titans fall.
The best among us admit the bad things and try to learn from them. And at least in this instance, we just have these examples where these people did not do that. And there's certain things that I say you don't want to be associated with. You would kill yourself if people find out you did it. And one of the worst is this abusing and sexually assaulting children, you know, and it's amazing to me that in this time where everybody's hyper-focused on, did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? Child pedophile ring. And it's like, but then you see one right next to you and you do nothing about it. You don't say anything. And you're the warriors in your society, and you do nothing. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
That's how Jeffrey Epstein gets away with what he does. Not when bad people do bad things. Left to themselves, bad people will be bad. The problem mm-hmm. is when good people don't do shit to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I hate to keep bringing up surviving R. Kelly, but when you hear about, like, that's just like a key example of, like, people enabling someone that is a known child abuser, or pedophile, like, people around him are like, yeah, he was always hanging out down at the high school and hanging out with younger girls and doing all this stuff, and it's like, so you didn't think that was weird or try and stop him or, you know, while he was dating Aaliyah, like, nobody wanted to intervene at any point, and they're all just as much to blame. They're all going to burn just like he is. Like, it just hurts my soul because they have kids too. And you know, people aren't always going to do the right thing, and it's really sad, but the best thing that I can do is just try and make sure that the people around me, like, know and have the confidence to do what's right, even when it feels really hard. Sometimes it is hard to tell the truth. It's hard to say things that have happened to you. I mean, even when all this stuff was going on, I'm, like, looking back and thinking into my mind when there were times where, like, you know, thank the heavens, like, I haven't been raped or molested or, you know, physically or sexually abused in any way, but, like, I have been sexually harassed on multiple occasions by people, not directly at my gym, but just people around me and things like that, and I'm like, wow, this is, like, it just really puts things into perspective. Like, this shit happens to everyone, and I mean, I'm lucky in the sense that this hasn't happened to me in such a extreme manner, but, like, you know, I know way too many women that it has, and it's so uncomfortable to know and know that they're living with that forever. Like, it's not something that goes away. It's not something that, you know, you just get over. It almost just creates more fucking problems for the rest of your life. Like, these things, like, I'm looking back now, I'm like, oh, I've repressed this really uncomfortable memory, and I just am thinking about it now. And people are like, oh, well, one person says something, now everyone else is saying something. I'm like, yeah, probably because these people are trying to mute this stuff out of their mind. Because they felt so helpless and so, you know. If I say no one time and you keep asking me over and over and over and over, and then I finally give in, I said no way too many times for you to be okay with me being okay with it now. Like, that's not.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, one, I think if people step back sometimes and take their personal feelings about it and look at it from a larger perspective, then they can understand. There's some things that it's a straight line from first base to third base. And then there's other areas in life where it's like you really had to zigzag around all these obstacles. And it's kind of stupid for people to sit back and think, you're going to remember all those zigzags. You're just going to remember you made it. You know, and then when you sit back and reflect, you're going to be like, man, that was kind of jacked up that I had to always have these things, that when I went to work, I had to ignore that comment, or when, you know, that guy at the restaurant grabbed my ass and I couldn't flip out because I'd be fired, or, you know, and it was just like the fact that people are silent about it is this thing where their brain does a survival tactic. Where it's like, this is the way life is, and if I complain about
it, let's cover this up with sand so we don't think about it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And it's just like, but there's
happen up in here, and the sand blows around. Like, it
happens in families where, you know, historically, you know, pedophiles have family members too, and family members will know. There's people that know, and they'll be like, "Don't leave them alone with Uncle Jesse," you know. And it's like they know exactly what they're saying. You know, when they do stuff like that. But those same family members will still force, like, "I'll give your uncle a hug." And you're just like, ew. Like, he's the uncle that hugs way too long. You know what I mean? And sniffs your hair, and you're like, ew. You know, what's this about?
Uncle Joe, stop.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, there's all of this stuff that goes on in society, and we navigate around it so so willfully and sometimes with such precision that we never step back and think, I really shouldn't have had to do that. You know?
Well, it's just this big thing of like, let's protect fucking kids.
Yeah.
And I've seen it so much like in the past couple of years, and it doesn't really seem like anything's happening. Like, when I was growing up in middle school and we had like Dateline with Chris Hansen on.
Yeah.
And you see these people, you see, I mean, it's just, there's nonstop episodes. There's
rabbis and everybody else.
Nonstop. It never fucking stops. And we're so stuck in this social media world where it just happens more and more and more and more. And it's like, you know, people got to really fucking look out for kids and, you know, no, you don't need to be a helicopter parent. You don't have to watch everything your kid does, but you can't just let them go off and do whatever they want. You don't leave them with adults.
Yep.
You don't know that well.
And
you don't do that, you know?
And that's...
I want people at my gym to look into me. Oh, she's a woman. It's fine. It's okay. You don't know that. You don't know anything I've done. I've fought a woman who had sex with a 16-year-old. You know what I mean? She looks just like me. She looks like a nice, kind lady that can teach a kids class.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that woman who, she was a school teacher who kept having sex and kept having kids by one of her students, kept getting out. She went to jail, would get right out of jail and go get hook up with the kid again. They had like four kids together. And so in the
powerlifting community here, there was a woman that did that. And like, you know, the kid was really fucked up from it. The kid was really fucked up from it. Like, you know, we attempted to commit suicide and things like that. And so, you know, some of the gyms stopped supporting this local powerlifting association. It's like an organization that puts on like lifting meets and stuff like that.
Mm.
My gym and Andre was like, we are not a part of that. We will not support this thing because this woman is a child molester.
Yeah, straight predator.
And
yeah.
There's other gyms in the area. Like, this is blown up. People know about it. They still support them, knowing that there's other organizations they can use. There's other, you know, meets that they can go to, but they still support it. And in doing so, there's a line drawn in the sand and you picked your side.
Yeah.
You picked the fucking wrong side. You know, it's, and I don't want to say that for like all of the people that train at Fight Sports. Like, I don't want to say, oh, you know, you picked your side, you know, the owners of those gyms, fuck them, you know, but the people that train there, I feel so bad for them that they have to make these decisions.
Like, yeah.
Oh, am I going to stay here or am I going to leave because this is happening?
You
know, and it's like, God forbid something like that happened to my gym. That'd be a really hard decision for me too. But yeah.
But it's one of those things where I think when I started off the show, I started off with the Howard Zinn quote, and he was a World War II veteran who kind of had a life changing event where he set off some very, very powerful bombs in one of the countries, and then after World War II, he came back and, you know, PTSD, went to college, became a PhD college professor, and really regretted a lot of his military career. So he wrote a lot of very interesting books. From a history perspective, he would write his history books from the perspective of the people who lost the war, not the people who won. So he wrote a very famous book, The People's History of the United States, and it would be about like there was the war for the American Revolution, but from the perspective of the people who were the British colonists who had businesses, you know, and like,
yeah.
This is what happened to those people. Like, this is what happened to the natives and these are their stories. So it would still be history, but it'd be like, this is the stuff you don't read. Like, this is the other side of that coin, you know? And I really thought about it when I heard this about this specific thing, because one of his most famous quotes was, you don't get to be neutral on a moving train.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, yeah, you did not ask to be here. You did not ask to make this choice, but you have two choices. Neutrality is not a choice. Silence is complicity. You know,
yep.
And it's just like, does it suck? Yes. But even one of my favorite Jack Johnson songs, he has a lyric that says, too much silence can be misleading. Just like, yep. If this one thing is going on and you're sitting there and you're quiet, everybody's going to think you're okay with it. We do not know what you and the owner are arguing about in private. We only know what you say. And if you're so vocal and so loud about everything else, and now you're as humble, you're as quiet as a church mouse, everybody just, we have the right to pre-assume it's because you don't want to say anything. You have chosen the side of the person who is doing the bad thing, you know?
In a traditional gender role sense, I'm like, where are all the men standing the fuck up? Like, for the woman that you want to protect, for all these jujitsu girls that you want to get with because you want to have a jujitsu girlfriend, you know? Like, God, to make it sound dumb, but yeah. Like, I see so many women standing up, coming out, going, I can't fucking believe this. This is crazy. They all have something to say. And there's a lot of men, in a traditional gender role thing, men are supposed to be protecting us. You know, granted, I can protect myself to a certain extent, but like the men around me are part of my tribe, and me and all the little ones around me need to be lifted up and protected by the men. That's just what it is. And when they turn into the perpetrators of violent acts or, you know, criminal sexual acts or molesting kids, like it just breaks down that trust, that barrier, that sense of security. So it's just really, really sad that it all happened. But, you know, when things like this happen, you know, it's all for a reason. And I hope that other gyms now see like the necessity to really check out who's coming to coach at their gym. Like the first thing, when you have a guy, oh, I'm going to fly in this guy from somewhere else. He's a world champion. He's this, he's that. Okay. Well, you got all that information, but like, what's he done?
Yeah.
What kind of person is he? Is he allowed to be around children, you know? Do you have a sexual misconduct like protocol for your gym? I mean, I'm sitting back here realizing now, like, I'm a step behind. I don't have this, but these things all happen for a reason. And going forward, you best believe I'm going to have some shit. Everyone's going to initial a thing. We're going to have rules, you know, that are just out in the open so everyone can see.
Yeah.
So if anyone goes, oh, what happened to so-and-so? He broke the fucking rules.
Yeah, and, it's one of those things.
Small rule, obviously, it will be okay, but there's just certain
rules and,
on there.
And it's very true that it is a social contract that people inherently know that they don't always enforce. Like, there's a reason why in every society.
I shouldn't have to say it, but now I know.
Yeah.
If it goes unsaid, I'm in the wrong.
Yeah, there's a reason why, you know.
I'm preparing for war. Yeah. Actually, I gotta prepare myself for war.
And it's one of those things where I just put it like this. I love the people at my gym, so I hate the people who try to hurt them. It's as simple as that. You know, I would, if they want to change course and get on the love train, they have to change their behavior. But I'm not going to do this thing where I justify what they're doing at the behest or at the, you know, at the detriment of people that I claim to want to protect and claim to that I care about. And it's like they drew a line in the sand to me when they decided it was okay to touch children, when they decided it was okay to help people flee the country, when they decided it was okay to shame victims. So I have to draw a line in the sand too, you know, and say, I'm not going to affiliate with you. I'm going to do these things to protect. If there's a piece of paper, I have no problem signing it because I'm not going to be one of the people having these problems. And if you have a problem signing it, that you may just be telling us that you're one of the ones we have to look out for. And there's several other places you can go to. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you and have a good life. And it's just kind of one of those things to where I did an episode on sexual grooming. And when I was doing the episode, I obviously did a lot of research and I was not shocked, but shocked that most of the people
it's
who
so were, gross.
Yeah, and most
like,
of the people,
the little things that you see.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're like, you don't realize that that's what's like. Off rip, you don't realize that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But and, that's what's happening.
And a lot of, one of the main people that were on the list that were the perpetrators were coaches and teachers. And
they're in a position of power, like a complex of like, I have information that you need.
Yep. And so it was just like, I thought about it. Like, I thought about this very hard yesterday because even when I did my interview with Kong, you know, who was one of the black belts out of the Midwest, he said in my interview, he said, everybody knows that instructor molested those children. And he just said it, like, kind of just tossed it out there. But I never asked him, like, you know, like,
what was that about?
You know what I mean? And then he was saying that the black belt doesn't mean shit. Like, some of these people are dickheads. Some of these. And then I was thinking, like, and he made a joke when we were off air. He said, people call me the Tupac of jiu-jitsu. And he was like, because I'm always calling everybody out. And then, so when all this happened, I was like, Jesus. I was like, here's this dude who's kind of got a bad rap. But I was like, he said it, like, within the first 30 minutes. And I was like, and he was somebody who's been in, like, MMA and stuff since the beginning. So I was like, if he was talking about it back then, it means it's kind of systemic, you know. It's just now.
It is. I mean, it's just sad. And the best thing that we can do as people that, you know, obviously aren't fucking child molesters or trying to groom children and shit like that is just be aware and look out for signs and try to do the best we can. To, like, my biggest goal right now is just to create the safest, most comfortable environment as I can without losing, you know, like the core value of my gym. And I feel like we all train really hard and we instill a lot of trust in each other that, like, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do it hard, but
yeah,
I'm not going to break you. You're not going to break me. You're not going to put me in a spot where I feel uncomfortable or like you're, you know, being malicious.
Yeah. So, I think right now we have to do the thing that makes us feel like children, which is we have to say stuff that's common sense.
It's so stupid.
And it's like, one of those things where
when you go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, in every rule thing, it's like, when your opponent taps, let go. It's like, well, no shit. Like, of course. It's like, sorry, no, we have to put that in there. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things where I'm very sad that this happened, but I am happy that the conversation is starting. And I've been talking to a lot of women inside of MMA, like jiu-jitsu. There was even an MMA fighter that fights for the UFC that hit me up in my inbox. I was like, oh, damn. And I just said, I don't want this to be a one-time conversation where something happens. We all have the knee-jerk reaction. We're all shocked. And then it just goes back to normal. I talked to a woman that told me about, as an adult, how she met an instructor who was married, who lied to her, you know, about all these things. And he was trying to use her to get a green card. And I told her, you know, she's in the military right now. She is in Guam. Well, she's going to come on my show in 2 weeks. And I was just like, this is the type of stuff people need to know. Like, this is the type of shit that happens. And the more, you know, we can shine a light on it, the less and less, you know, prevalent is going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so all we can do is be decent people and put safeguards up as reasonably as we can to protect people who we encounter. You know, it's one of those things that there's a famous quote from Jessica Mitford who said, I cannot always change the world, but I can shame the people who are guilty. And that's kind of, you know, what I'm going to do. I can't fix everything, but I can definitely always point a spotlight at the people who are doing things, you know. And I it's one of those things where I'll say again, I'm very sorry that we have to have this conversation, but I'm definitely going to do my best to facilitate that it keeps happening.
Yeah, same. I'm sorry to everyone that has been affected by this bullshit, and not even just in jiu-jitsu, but just in general, like anybody yeah. who's been a victim of sexual abuse, you know, I've heard about it happening all the time where people are like victim blaming and stuff. And I guess I never really understood like the severity of like how shitty that is
yeah.
until I see that happening in my sport. But that's when things hit close to home, that's when they start to really affect you, you know? And I don't know if it's because I'm around all the kids nowadays too. And I have all these teenage girls in my gym and I'm like, oh, I'm so happy that this is happening. But it's also like, I have a duty, in myself to keep them fucking safe.
Yeah,
no matter
yeah.
what. With, and make sure this bullshit doesn't happen to yeah. them. God, I commend my dad for raising me. And, you know, when I was met with some type of situation where that was going to happen to me or could have happened, or I was in a situation where it was like present, I fucking said something.
Yeah, he shut it down. And I'm very happy that you did. I would be heartbroken if anything happened to you. I'd be heartbroken mm-hmm. if anything happened to Samson. You know, I've known you guys since you,
yeah,
were, since you were kids. And you know, it's one of those things where with your black belt promotion, it's not all fun and games. It's a lot of responsibility now, too.
So much responsibility. Like, we keep saying, like, you know, the belt only covers 2 inches of your ass.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean anything. But at the end of the day, it does come with more responsibility. And I can decide to take that responsibility and do the best I can with it. Or I can, you know, be like these fucking guys. And, oh, shh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I don't want any drama around my gym.
Yeah.
You know? So that's that. I have to go to the chiropractor right now.
Yeah, so.
But this has been a good conversation. I mean, obviously not like a
yeah.
comfortable conversation to have. But I'm happy that we could speak about this shit because this is what needs to happen, is open conversations. I mean, like, I doubt we're saying anything that no one else has already said or is thinking, but you know, it's just good for people to hear, and maybe for people that don't do jiu-jitsu, like,
yeah,
God, why is there so much sexual harassment going on in my job? Like, hey,
yeah,
bro,
yeah,
it's okay, it's and happening here too, we all gotta be better.
Well, one, thank you for coming on, and I will end with this. If you are struggling with this situation and you don't feel like you have somebody to talk to, if you inbox me or you inbox Taylor, we will definitely point you in the right direction. Period. All right. Thank you for coming on, Taylor, and you have a good rest of the day, and I will see you to try to choke you later.
All right. All fun, though.
So, again, a very, very weighty topic. We want to do our best to try to bring light to something that is happening. I thank my instructor, Taylor Salser, for coming on and talking about it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I will see you on the next episode. Like I said, this is not a conversation that I'm going to let just be a one conversation thing. And thank you for the people who are speaking out. And see you on the next episode. The Darrell McClain Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. Get a membership for $3 a month at www.patreon.com/The Darrell McClain Show.